the daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all from 1:50pm on Racing Radio. Stuart Beasley, Andy Holding and Stephen Powell will be the team in the studio. Chester, Sandown and Ferskar, the afternoon meetings. We've got a good card at Salisbury in the evening. There's also all-weather racing at Southwell and Irish racing from Down Royal and Killarney. Plenty of racing to look forward to on Friday. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Very well, thank you, Mark. Very well. Good to be back in the studio.
Good. What have you been up to, Sean? Anything of interest?
Yeah, I've been busy the last week or so. On Monday, I went looking at yearlings at Doncaster in preparation for the sale that took place on Tuesday and Wednesday, and we added 4 new yearling recruits to the team, so they are the first ones to be bought ahead of next season.
Good. Already gearing up for next season.
That's it.
This season.
That's it. No rest for the wicked.
Yes. And the yard's been doing okay of late as well. You've had quite a few nice price winners in the last few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Yard's going well. We've had a winner this week and a few more chances as well towards the end of the week. Got a runner at Chester tomorrow, which we'll focus on in this podcast because he's taking part in one of the races we're going to look forward to. And a few at Thirsk. And then on Saturday, he's back to Chester. And I'm particularly looking forward to our runner on Saturday because for the first time in 900 days, we have Recession Proof back on the track. Of course, former winner of the Tote Sport Trophy at Newbury. He makes his reappearance on the flat at Chester.
Good. What day did you say that was?
That's on Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that one. Before we look ahead to Friday's racing, let's just talk about a few of the news stories, because there's a couple of things going on at the moment, including the new sponsor for the Grand National, now sponsored by Crabbies, and it means that there's going to be £975,000 on offer. Ooh. In this year's Grand National, which makes it the richest jumps race in the world, I think.
Fantastique, yes, exactly, yeah. Great to have a new sponsor, of course. We need sponsors in the game, and it makes sense that Crabbies have jumped in and seized the opportunity, seized the moment, because of course Crabbies was founded by the late John Hailwood, who of course has such an association with the Grand National over the years, and of course he was lucky enough to own a winner back in 2004. His Amberley House won for him and Ginger McCain and Graham Lee.
Yeah.
Crabbies have been great supporters of racing in the Northwest in recent years. Punters will have seen them sponsoring races at the likes of Chester, Bangor, Haydock, and now they've got the Pinnacle, they've got the Jewel in the Crown, they've got the Grand National, and I hope it works well for them.
Yes, and it could well be a good time to sponsor the National now, because after the changes made last year, no injuries to any horses last year, no fatalities or anything, and it was obviously the year before there was so much negative press.
I think that's what scared out John Smith, wasn't
it? Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
That their hand was almost forced to leave, being such a big global company, John Smith's, and you know, it was sad that they saw fit to do so. But look, we've got a new sponsor, and as you say, it's probably a good time for someone to be coming in on the back of a very positive 2013 Grand National.
Talking about some flat action then instead, because we are still in the flat season, talking about the Grand National already. We know that Telescope now will not go to the St Ledger. He's going to have the Champion Stakes as his aim.
Yeah. Harry Herbert quoted as saying, "Sir Michael is not convinced about running him over that distance in a race as tough as the St Ledger." Well, that's fair enough. He looked like a horse who was crying out for a step up to a mile and a half. And that seemed to suit at York when, of course, he won the Great Voltigeur, traditionally known as one of the best stepping stones to the fifth and final classic of our season. But clearly, the Highclere team and Sir Michael Stout's team don't feel that he's crying out for another 2-furlong hiking trip, and they're going to run him in the champions in the Champion Stakes. Whether he'll be suited by the drop to a mile and a quarter for the Champion Stakes, I'd question. You know, I'd like to see him kept around a mile and a half. They probably don't have loads of options at a mile and a half until the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Still, I don't think he's quick enough to win a Champion Stakes.
Okay. It also means that the St Ledger betting is now wide open. 5-1 co-favourites of 3 at the moment. Excess Knowledge, Galileo Rock and Leading Light.
only a couple of weeks away, the St. Ledger. And there's nothing at the moment that I really want to be backing for the race, to be honest with you. I'd be tempted to, if I was forced at this stage to say which horse would interest me most, I'd say Libertarian, given a break since his disappointment in the Irish Derby. I think that break can only have done him the world of good, given what a sizeable horse he is, and a horse who'd had a good bit of racing in the lead up to that race in Ireland. So he'd be interesting for me at this moment, but no more.
Okay, 8-1 for Libertarian. It could be interesting later on. And All Systems are go as well for Novelist in his ARC prep. The ARC not too far away either. And
Is it? First weekend in October,
something like that. Yeah. Do you have an idea of the? I think the French team are pretty strong, aren't they? The home team in the ARC.
Yeah, you look on page 3 of the Racing Post today, and we see the headline: Farb's Fantastic Five. He has Flintshire, Intello, Vancouverite, Triple Threat, and Okavango all in at this stage, and undoubtedly the most interesting of those at this moment in time is Flintshire, who looks very, very good. He heads to the pre-Niel.
Okay, well, that's all to come, but before that, we have plenty of racing to look at, including on Friday. And you've picked out 3 races at Chester for us, Sean. So let's get stuck into those. The first of which is the 3:35, which is a handicap, a Class 3 handicap of a mile and a quarter. And shall we start here? Well, where do you want to start here, Sean? Because there's plenty in with a chance in this.
There are. This is a good race, a race I'm really looking forward to. We've got, well, all 9 types look to be still improving, Mark. Mm-hmm. And I could give, you know, 4 or 5 a really, really rock solid chance. I mean, the horse that will probably be end up being the selection is Top Amiki, down towards the foot of the weights. Top Amiki was a winner last time out here at Chester over this distance, getting the better of Rhombus by 1/2 length. Before that, he was a winner at Lingfield. This is a step up in class for Top Amiki, but I think he's still improving. He's got a good draw in stall too, and he's a horse that I had my eye on for some time. I still think he could be ahead of his mark of 76.
Okay. Who are you most worried about in the line?
The likes of Finoma would have to be interesting. This horse broke her maiden tag last time out at Newbury when getting the better of Sadakar. She's been allotted a mark of 84 on the back of that. She has to be open to further improvement. Finoma, being a daughter of Galileo, I think the little bit of juice in the ground will not inconvenience her, as she's out of an Indian Ridge mare. Indeed, the ground was good last time out when she won at Newbury, so it looked perfect for her. Ninjara is very, very solid. Was a winner 2 starts back at Sandown and only found Strictly Silver too good in a very competitive race at Newmarket last time out. It's interesting, Saeed Bin Sarur's reached for a set of visors for the first time on Sadiq, who was 2nd behind Ninjara at Sandown last time out. If the visors can eke out a little bit of improvement in Sadiq, you wouldn't be surprised to see that horse reverse the placings with Ninjara. And the top weight, Yarum, has to concede weight all round, but has some pretty decent form to his name, Yarum, and I think the step up to 10 furlongs is interesting and could well suit Roger Varian's charge. So there are a number of dangers to Top Miki, but I think he'll be a fair enough price, Mark. I think he'll be bigger than 5-1.
Yeah.
And I'd be backing him each way.
Okay. Top Miki each way then in the 3:35. Moving on to the 4:05 next. And this one's for the 2-year-olds. It's a 7-furlong nursery. And shall we start here with Nazar, who is improving but hasn't been done too many favours by the draw here?
No, that's the big negative, isn't it? Nazar's drawn in 8 of 8. Mm. It's a huge disadvantage round the Rudy. And it, if anything gets him beat here, it will be his draw, because his form is very, very strong. And I think he's going to prove to be better than an 81-rated horse. He was last seen at York a week ago, finishing 3rd in the sales race behind Hike Bidiak. Well, Hike Bidiak had shown very strong form to that point. There were a number of nice horses in behind in that sales race, and Nazar, with a good draw here, would have been banker material. As it is, I still fancy the horse, but that the big danger is the draw. Others to consider if you're looking to take on Nazar as a result of the draw would probably be Mark Johnson's horse Split Rock, who was in 6, stall 6. This horse was a beaten favourite last time out at Musselburgh behind Sandsman's Girls. That was his first attempt at 7 furlongs. His pedigree suggests he wants 7 furlongs, and I think he could be a danger from the head of affairs. And Intermath would be another one worth considering on the back of a good run at Lingfield last time out, went third behind Hiking. But this race is all about Nazar for me. As I say, if it weren't for the draw, he'd have to be banker material.
Okay. The fact that Split Rock and our Gabriel are also drawn on that side, two of the main challenges in the race, do you think it could help him get away with it a little bit, the fact that the principles of the race are going to be on that side?
Well, yes, and Frankie Dettori's got two options. If the horse pings the gate grand, you're across. Yep. If not, slot in and get a bit of cover. I'm sure they are the only two options, because if you try barricading wide around Chester, you have no chance. But, of course, he's world-class, Frankie Dettori, and I'm sure he'll make the right move.
OK, and the 440 then is the third race that you've picked out, Sean. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and seven, well, nearly 2 miles, isn't it? And it's your runner here. You've got Moidor in the field.
Yeah, Moidor runs here. He was sixth in the Northumberland Plate, two starts back, and then was beaten at York last time out. The ground was rattling hard at York, and Mark, this horse is different gear with a bit of juice in the ground. It's key to him. And he ran a really good race at York, all things considered, given how quick the ground was. He's very well in himself at home. Further rain would be a big plus for Moidor, because I think he probably would appreciate a slightly more galloping track than Chester. If the ground is riding a little bit quicker, I could see him being hassled towards the head of affairs. But if it rides soft, it's going to suit a real stayer like him. And that's what we're hoping we get overnight, a good bit of rain. Dangers would include Platinum, who gets into this race with only a £6 penalty, having run away with a Musselburgh handicap last time out, where he beat Hawk Mountain 4.5 lengths. He landed some tidy bets that day, and clearly is in great heart with himself at the moment. He bids to take this en route to the Cesarewitch in October. But this is a much better race than that Musselburgh race he ran in last time out, and he might be a touch too short. Zenifier proved his liking for the track when getting the better of Kashmir Peak in a race last time out over a mile and a half. I don't think the step up in trip's going to inconvenience him, as he was staying on really strongly towards the line. He's still an improving stayer, this Zenifier. He's another not to be ruled out. And of course, you have to respect the 3-year-old in receipt of all that weight for age statutory, who was a good third behind stablemate Royal Skies at Ascot, two starts back. He was fourth behind Poyle Thomas at Newbury last time out. He steps up to 2 miles, or nearly 2 miles, for the first time today, but it could well suit him, so you'd have to throw him into the mix. Clearly, I'm hopeful that Moidor will run a good race. The more rain that comes, the better his chance. The biggest danger would have to rate Zenifier, because I still think he's improving.
OK. Let's have a quick summary then, Sean, if you wouldn't mind. Let's go through your selections at Chester one more time.
Yeah, certainly. In the 3:35 race, a mile and a quarter handicap, I like Topamiki in a race chock full of improving three-year-olds, of which he is one. I'm going to side with Mark Tompkins' horse to notch up the hat-trick. In the 4:05, the nursery run over 7 furlongs, I think this race is all about Nazar. As I said earlier, with a low draw, he'd be banker material. That is the negative. He's drawn in 8, but hopefully his class can overcome that. And then in the stayers' handicap, the 4:40, we are represented by Moidor, who's in great form at home and would have a squeak in this, but I would prefer a little bit more rain. Zenifier is the one they all have to beat.
OK, thank you very much, Sean. Go and do a rain dance.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Friday's racing at Chester. You'll hear that and the meetings at Sandown, Thirsk, Salisbury and Southwell on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Stuart Beasley, Andy Holding and Stephen Powell in the studio. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.